What if the biggest obstacle standing between you and everything you want isn't external at all? Not your circumstances, not your resources, not even your opportunities, but the invisible stories playing on repeat in your head. Most of us walk through life carrying chains we forged ourselves, convinced they're permanent fixtures of who we are.
We say, "I'm just not a morning person," or "I've never been good with money," as if these declarations are biological facts rather than choices we make every single day.
The truth is far more liberating and terrifying. You're not stuck.
You're just scared.
And that fear?
It doesn't even exist. Here's something that might blow your mind. You were born afraid of exactly two things: falling and loud noises.
Everything else? Completely learned.
That fear of public speaking, of starting your own business, of asking someone out, of posting your creative work online. None of it was hardwired into you.
You picked it up somewhere along the way, probably from a parent, a teacher, or a painful experience that your brain decided to turn into a permanent warning sign. What makes fear so insidious is that it masquerades as reality.
Your amygdala, the ancient alarm system in your brain, can't tell the difference between a lion charging at you and an imaginary scenario where your business fails.
Both trigger the same physiological response: sweating palms, racing heart, shallow breathing. Your body prepares for a threat that exists only in your imagination. Studies reveal that 97% of what we worry about never actually happens. Think about that.
You're letting a phantom dictate your entire life.
This is why procrastination isn't laziness, it's fear wearing a disguise. When you keep putting off that project, you're not managing your time poorly, you're avoiding the discomfort of confronting what scares you.
The real kicker?
Even success terrifies us.
Cornell research shows that many ambitious people unconsciously sabotage themselves because they're afraid of outgrowing their community, of becoming someone their friends and family no longer recognize. The way forward isn't eliminating fear. That's impossible, because fear doesn't actually exist in the present moment.
It's always about the future.
Instead, recognize it for what it is, a signpost marking the edge of your comfort zone, not a barrier. Every time you lean into that discomfort rather than away from it, your comfort zone expands permanently.
Fear becomes your compass, pointing toward exactly where you need to go.
Jim Carrey lost himself playing Andy Kaufman for 4 months, unable to answer, "Who is Jim Carrey?" That crisis revealed a truth. Your identity, the story you tell yourself, is completely made up, and it's running your life. That internal voice creates reality through imagination. You act according to what you imagine to be true, not what is actually true. Bad with money? You'll confirm it. Not creative? You'll avoid proving otherwise. These stories distort reality through cognitive shortcuts, exaggerating, overgeneralizing, thinking in absolutes. The trap is identity drives actions, which determine results, which reinforce identity, a self-fulfilling prophecy. This explains why 90 to 97% of people regain lost weight. Their actions change temporarily, but their identity never shifted. Change follows predictable phases: uninformed optimism, informed pessimism, the valley of despair, then, if you persist, informed optimism and success. Most quit in the valley, right before breakthrough. The only way out is through action, not thinking. You can't think your way into a new identity. You must act your way into it. After 1,300 podcast episodes, being a podcaster became identity. The first episode? Terrifying. But actions created identity. You don't need to believe in yourself first. You just need to start moving. Most people approach life like a child asking for whatever at Christmas, then wondering why they get socks instead of joy. I want to lose weight isn't a goal, it's a wish tossed into a fountain. The Japanese concept of ikigai offers a framework. What do you love? What are you good at? What can you get paid to do? What does the world need? Add a fifth question. What would you study obsessively, even if you never got paid? Your purpose is usually hiding in plain sight, dismissed as unrealistic. Try this. You receive $500 million tomorrow. After buying everything, the house, the cars, the trips, how would you spend your time? That answer reveals what actually matters. Emotional attachment transforms goals into non-negotiables. Ask why repeatedly to uncover real motivation. Someone wanting to make more money might discover they actually want custody of their children. That's not a goal, that's a mission. Driving at night, you only see 100 feet ahead. You don't need the entire route, just the next illuminated section. Life works the same way. We say, I don't have time, but try replacing it with, I don't give a damn, and see how it feels. Life can be easy now and hard later, or hard now and easy later. Every choice is a trade-off.
Elite athletes use visualization because it's neuroscience, not mysticism. Your brain's reticular activating system filters trillions of information bits, allowing through only what you've deemed important. When you vividly imagine something, your RAS notices related opportunities that were always present, but previously invisible. Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile in 1954, an achievement experts declared impossible. Within 3 years, hundreds followed. Visualization works similarly. It proves to your brain something is achievable, dissolving resistance. Engage all senses to make visualization real. Before moving to Rome, virtually walk streets via Google Maps, drink coffee while listening to Sounds of Rome, imagine fresh pasta's smell. Your brain doesn't distinguish vividly imagined experiences from real ones. Most people already excel at visualization. They just visualize catastrophic failures. Successful people envision positive outcomes and draw energy from imagined futures. After his 2011 Masters collapse, Rory McIlroy eliminated golf media, restricted phone use, and removed distractions during tournaments. He won 4 major championships. Focus isn't talent, it's a developable skill.
The Pomodoro Technique. Work 25 minutes on one task. Break for 5. Before starting, brain dump. Write everything swirling in your mind. Use a physical timer. During breaks, avoid screens and move. This triggers hippocampal replay. Your brain processes information 10 times faster than during the original activity. The biggest enemy, we check phones 344 times daily through infinite scrolling and intermittent rewards. The solution? Keep your phone in another room. That small friction prevents mindless checking and reclaims your attention.
At 19, slacking in a sales job, a coach asked, "If you get to the end of your life and things didn't turn out as you wanted, whose fault is that?" That question changed everything. It was time to become the CEO of a personal life and recognize that daily choices determine destiny. Success doesn't require being the smartest or most talented, just the most consistent. Stop saying, "I struggle with consistency." Instead, "I struggled with consistency in the past, but I'm becoming more consistent every day." The secret to discipline? Never negotiate with your own mind. When resistance appears, just start moving. Physical movement changes your body chemistry, preparing you for action. Use the foot in the door trick. Commit to washing just one dish, and you'll likely continue. Build the habit of finishing what you start. Do 1% more than you planned. Rituals, meaningful, intentional routines, create freedom, not restriction. A consistent morning routine creates energy for the entire day. Success is the accumulation of daily micro actions. Most people don't grasp compounding. A penny doubled daily for 30 days yields over $5 million. Reading 10 pages daily equals 12 books yearly. These micro actions don't produce immediate results, which is why most people quit. but compounded over time, they transform everything.
Perfectionism is fear wearing a mask. Done is better than perfect. Use the start, stop, continue practice weekly. What do I need to start doing? What do I need to stop doing? What should I continue doing? These small adjustments compound over time.
Jerry Seinfeld's calendar method is brilliantly simple. Mark an X for each day you complete your target behavior. The visual chain motivates consistent action until the behavior becomes automatic. Don't overhaul everything at once. That guarantees failure. Focus on one keystone habit. Like the central stone holding an arch together, a keystone habit creates positive ripple effects. Waking up early naturally creates space for reading, exercise, journaling, meditation. Commit to one keystone habit for 100 days, the average time needed to cement it. Once automatic, add another. 3 keystone habits per year will completely redirect your life trajectory. Habit stacking leverages existing automatic behaviors. After I do old habit, I will do new habit. Want to practice daily affirmations? Do them immediately after brushing your teeth, an already established routine. Standards are more fundamental than habits. Like a thermostat setting a temperature, your standards establish comfort zones in finances, fitness, relationships. The standards you hold yourself to have created your current life. Neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to reorganize itself, enables change through repeated action. Here's what most people miss. The brain doesn't change during learning moments. It changes during sleep. The hippocampus rebroadcasts your daily experiences while you sleep, rewiring your brain through memory consolidation.
Light dramatically impacts focus. Make your workspace as bright as comfortable, ideally near a window. Natural sunlight stimulates alertness and improves memory. When focus wanes, simply move. Walk around the block or do jumping jacks. Exercise improves working memory and sustained attention for 2 to 3 hours afterward. Kobe Bryant practiced at 4 a.m. while competitors slept. Coach Nick Saban focuses players on executing each play rather than championships. Both rewarded the training itself, not just outcomes. Dopamine drives motivation and craving. Unlike serotonin's calm, dopamine creates hunger and excitement. Influence when it's released through simple reward systems, eating candy after 10 sales calls. Reward the action, not just the result. Self-celebration is crucial. Genuinely feeling accomplishment after tasks creates natural dopamine hits that motivate continued action. Use action-based goals instead of overwhelming outcome-based ones. Shifting from build muscle and lose fat to move my body every day and celebrating that achievement creates a positive feedback loop. Action releases dopamine, which motivates more action. Cold water exposure, 1 hour at 57 degrees Fahrenheit, increases dopamine by 250%, more effective than caffeine. Accountability partners with real consequences exponentially increase achievement rates. Visual focus techniques enhance concentration. Stare at something directly ahead for 2 minutes before focused work, blocking peripheral vision to activate alertness neurochemicals. Self-development isn't fixing something broken. It's clearing accumulated dust to reveal your true self. You have everything you need right now. Your future self is waiting. The only way forward is to start moving today.